Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your Kids in Need of Defense briefing on priorities for the first 100 days of the Biden administration conference call. All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following the presentation. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero to reach a live operator. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Wendy Young, President of Kids in Need of Defense. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining the call today. This briefing really comes just days before the Biden administration will assume office and face some of the most acute challenges our nation has ever known, including the need to address the tremendous damage the current administration has inflicted on our immigration, asylum, and refugee systems. Despite their claims to the contrary, the current administration's immigration legacy has been shaped by a perverse disregard for human rights and human dignity, rather than the rule of law. Right now, there are thousands of refugees, including children alone, in danger at the U.S.-Mexico border as they wait in makeshift camps for the possibility that they may be granted relief in a system stacked against them that doesn't prioritize their safety. As COVID-19 swept across the globe, this new administration saw it as an opportunity to completely close the U.S. southern border to refugees and to sidestep existing laws that protect those seeking safety in our nation, including unaccompanied children on the move. President Trump regularly undermined the safeguards in the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act, the TVPRA, and other bipartisan laws designed to keep children safe from violence and exploitation. Instead, he placed some of them in hotels, alone and without legal representation, until he could swiftly send them back to the conditions that they had fled. KIND has fought to protect migrant children throughout all of this, and even more during the past 4 years. We've seen up close the damage the Trump administration has done to our nation's immigration system and the urgent need for the Biden administration to tackle some of the most pressing issues head-on during its first 100 days. Today, we saw a tragic example of the damage the Trump administration has done in the release of the Department of Justice Inspector General's report on family separation. President-elect Harris said in an interview that the incoming administration plans to ensure that children who arrive at the border have legal counsel so that we can make sure they receive due process and are treated fairly. That is extremely encouraging, and we would certainly welcome that step and others like it. There are literally hundreds of fixes that the new administration will need to address to restore justice to our immigration system, and ideally many more improvements even beyond that to ensure that the havoc wrought by the Trump administration never happens again. Today in the telebriefing, we'll discuss our recommendations to that end, and we look forward to answering your questions. I'll kick off this call by turning things first over to Jennifer Podkol, KIND's Vice President for Advocacy and Policy, and then Jen will be followed by Lisa Friedman, our Vice President for International Programs. Jen?
Thanks, Wendy, and thanks everybody for joining. As Wendy mentioned, there's so much to prepare. President-elect Biden is walking into a situation where the legal gaps and protections for unaccompanied children have been exploited by the outgoing administration. We at KIND have carefully documented all the harms that were done to children's ability to access protection, and we're ready to work with the new administration to repair that damage. Due to the urgent and dangerous situation so many children are in right now as a result of the outgoing administration's cruel policies, we are calling up on the incoming administration to simultaneously take executive action to immediately improve conditions for unaccompanied children and work with Congress to ensure that any protections will be made permanent through legislation that will last long after Biden leaves office. In my remarks, I'm going to briefly touch upon the current situation for children at the border, what we believe the administration must prioritize to increase the protections for children, and then I'll briefly touch upon the Department of Justice OIG report that was released today. So I'll just spend a few minutes discussing the current situation for kids at the border, and I'll start with Title 42. Now, although application of Title 42 to unaccompanied children was enjoined in November by a federal court while the government's appeal is pending, it is important to remember that the PJES lawsuit only applies to children who are apprehended and in U.S. custody, which means it only applies to unaccompanied kids between ports of entry, who are apprehended between the ports of entry. There is an existing separate executive order about prohibiting asylum seekers from being able to present at ports of entry. So unfortunately, in the current posture, children can be allowed to ask for protection, but only if they can find a Border Patrol agent between a port of entry, which of course is much more dangerous. So let me give you an example of the real impact this is having. Kind was contacted by a parent who was hysterical about her son who had gone missing after trying to present himself for protection between a port of entry because he had previously been rejected at the official port. It was tragically later discovered that the child perished in the desert during his attempt to ask for protection. Additionally, Kind has been made aware of at least two children who are in hiding or living in extremely dangerous conditions in Mexico after being turned away at a U.S. port of entry. These children believe they have no other option but to try to enter the United States between official ports of entry. Now, this is a perverse result of how the executive orders and the litigation are intersecting. And the Biden administration must end it immediately to ensure that no other children die because they were told the United States is closed to them. So to do so, Biden must immediately issue guidance to Customs and Border Protection that children and asylum seekers should be considered a humanitarian exception under Title 42. Now, there's lots of questions about how many children may be arriving to ask for protection. And now that Title 42 has been enjoined, the numbers of children appearing as apprehensions in Customs and Border Protection statistics has increased since the dramatic decrease at the beginning of Title 42 back in March and April. So when we're looking at these numbers, it's important to bear in mind that Customs and Border Protection was tracking Title 42 expulsions differently than Title 8 apprehensions. So it's a bit of apples and oranges to compare the number of children apprehended in April versus the November, December numbers after the policy was enjoined by the court. To try to predict actual numbers of kids who may be presenting themselves at the U.S.-Mexico border, we really have to look at the numbers since the 2014 dramatic influx. Now, that number since 2014 has been relatively consistent despite who is in the White House or what deterrence policies were in place to dissuade them from coming. Now, this is because, as my colleague Lisa will soon discuss in more detail, the root causes of their migration have unfortunately not changed. Because we can expect the recently consistent high numbers of unaccompanied children needing to present for protection, it's essential that the Biden administration balance lawful reception of these children with necessary COVID protections. So to do this, they must do three things. One, they must ensure appropriate reception of children at the border. Now, one necessary component of this is to implement the language in the FY21 omnibus that requires the Department of Homeland Security to hire child protection professionals to be staffed at Customs and Border Protection stations, and they must produce a hiring plan to get those staff on board within 60 days. Two, they have to ensure that there's appropriate OR capacity so children can quickly move out of the CBP facilities to licensed Office of Refugee Resettlement, or ORR, facilities. ORR has developed COVID protocols to ensure both children and staff are safe, but they must continue to work on rapid family reunification outside of government custody to ensure that they're able to accommodate new children who are presenting at the border without any backups in CBP custody. And third, they must guarantee fair and timely adjudication of children's cases. This process must allow time for an attorney to work with a child so that they may apply for relief. The new administration must dedicate increased resources for legal representation of unaccompanied children in U.S. immigration proceedings and support legislation ensuring counsel for all such children. We were thrilled Vice President-elect Harris just this week publicly committed to ensuring all unaccompanied children have counsel to accompany them through our immigration system. Now, finally, I'll briefly turn to the new Office of Inspector General report that was released today. Look, it serves as yet another analysis of how each agency failed in their duty to uphold the rights of children and families, and how the outgoing administration prioritized their political agenda at any cost. The policies were deliberate, and they caused devastating harm to so many. The Biden administration's commitment to setting up a task force to deal with what happened to these families is a very promising first step. The administration must support organizations like KIND who are serving these families so that they can identify all the separated families and make sure that they are reunited in the United States. These families deserve the ability to remain in the U.S., be provided with care and compensation for their pain and suffering. The new administration must commit to ensuring family separation will never happen again. And there's a more complete list of priorities for the task force that KIND has drafted and can be found on our website. I will stop there and turn it over to my colleague, Lisa.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, everybody, again, for joining us today. While the Trump administration was doing everything possible to decimate our immigration system, as you heard from my colleagues Wendy and Jennifer, crises in Central America have continued to mount during this time. As KIND has been saying for years, and as Jennifer alluded to, children in Central America are fleeing their countries to escape widespread violence, including child abuse, gender-based violence, and violence by gangs and other organized criminal groups. Weak and underfunded judicial and child protection systems and corruption at all levels in these countries leave children with nowhere to go for protection, forcing them to seek safety elsewhere. The violence that children face is compounded by extreme poverty, inequality, and discrimination, and all of the issues I just talked about briefly have been exacerbated by the COVID-19 crisis and even more recently by the double whammy of the hurricanes Eta and Iota, which devastated communities throughout the region, and in particular in Honduras, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. Hundreds of thousands of individuals were displaced from their homes, and as of late December, over 130,000 families still remained in crowded shelters, increasing their risk of COVID-19 and the risk of children experiencing gender-based violence, which I'll touch on in a minute. According to preliminary estimates, Eta and Iota caused $10 billion in economic damage in Honduras alone, an amount that's equal to nearly 40% of its gross domestic product. And it's estimated that on account of the impacts of COVID-19 and the hurricanes, between 75 to 80% of the population in Honduras is now living in poverty. The damage is so bad that one Honduran official described the impact of COVID and the twin hurricanes as the greatest catastrophe Honduras has ever faced. COVID-19 and the hurricanes have unfortunately also worsened the major drivers of child migration, in particular gender-based violence, including, for example, girls at temporary and emergency shelters who've reported suffering sexual abuse at the hands of adults in those same shelters. Gangs have also taken advantage of COVID-19 and the vulnerabilities caused by the hurricanes to strengthen their network and further target incredibly vulnerable children and families. In all three countries, gangs used confinement during COVID to strengthen their control over communities, stepping up extortion, sexual and gender-based violence, and using forced disappearances, murders, and death threats against those who did not comply with their orders. In El Salvador, the country's three most powerful gangs came together to impose curfews and strict limitations on movement, with failure to comply punishable by physical violence or death. And in fact, during the first week of the lockdown in mid-March, 74 people were killed by gangs over the course of 4 days in El Salvador, far surpassing the previous average of approximately 3 deaths per day due to gang violence. Corruption, including at the highest levels of government, continues throughout the region and even more freely following the termination of the anti-corruption and impunity bodies that were put into place in Guatemala and Honduras during the Obama administration. Even funding to address COVID-19 is not above corruption in Honduras, where millions of dollars in COVID aid have been unaccounted for, and despite the fact that the healthcare system is on the brink of collapse. Now, when we hear about caravans of Central Americans planning to head to the United States, we must understand that many of the children and families who are suffering the devastating impacts of these multiple crises of widespread violence, impunity, and corruption, on top of the crushing economic loss and food insecurity, feel they have no choice but to leave their countries to seek safety and security. Some are saying that caravans will be coming because of the change in administration, but this is not true. Caravans of migrants have been coming to the United States for a number of years, and in fact, for the past 3 years, caravans have left Honduras on January 15th, just as the one forming now plans to do. The only difference is that the conditions in northern Central America are even worse now than when previous caravans left. These dire conditions require immediate action, and we call on President Biden to signal in his first 100 days that he plans to completely reset U.S. foreign policy and foreign assistance to the region. The Trump administration's policy towards Mexico and Central America had the near-exclusive focus on stopping migration, and the administration achieved cooperation from these governments through threats and through cutting off aid. It's time for a new approach, one that involves working in partnership with the governments of the region to reduce the drivers of migration. The Biden administration's message to Central American governments should be, prioritize protecting the well-being and the rights of your citizens so that they have an option to stay, and you will have a true partner in the U.S. government as you seek to achieve this. We welcome news that the administration plans to launch a four-year, $4 billion plan, and we call on the administration to prioritize development programs that target the root causes of child migration. Now, when it comes to engagement with Mexico, rather than pressuring Mexico to stop migration northward, a strategy that has proven ineffective at halting migration and has led to placing children in significant danger, the Biden administration should work with the Mexican government to strengthen its asylum system and access to shelter and assistance for migrants. From day one in office, President Biden should send a clear message to the Mexican government that the U.S. will uphold its own legal and moral obligations to those seeking safety at our border. Kime launched operations in Mexico early in 2020 to serve unaccompanied children on the move by increasing their access to protection in both Mexico and the United States. And Kime's Mexico program provided legal orientations, direct legal representation and support to over 165 unaccompanied children in civil society and government shelters in Mexico in 2020. While also delivering training and providing technical assistance to the Mexican government on children's cases. Through this work, we see the tremendous potential for the Biden and AMLO administrations to work together in partnership to strengthen protection in the region and to ensure outcomes in the best interests of the child. At the same time that the U.S. steps up its commitment to foreign assistance and partnerships, it must create an immediate safety valve for children whose lives are at risk and who cannot wait for these programs to work. We applaud the Biden administration's plan to reestablish the completely slashed refugee resettlement program, including in Northern Central America, and we call on the administration to commit to reviving and improving the Central American Minors Refugee Resettlement Program within the first 100 days. The Central American Minors Refugee Resettlement, or CAM, program brought over 3,000 Central American children to safety in the United States before it was terminated by the Trump administration. A new CAM program, one that is expanded and that's improved, has the potential to bring thousands of Central American children with international protection needs to safety and through an orderly process, rather than having to take the risks involved in the migration journey. The previous CAM program was only available to children with a parent in the United States who held one of several limited forms of immigration status. Defined primarily by the relationship to the parent and the status of the parent, the previous CAM program was not designed to reach children based on protection needs. A new CAM program should be built centrally to provide protection for unaccompanied children. Thank you, and I will turn it back to Wendy.
Thank you, Jen and Lisa. To summarize, the bottom line is that the Biden administration has a lot of work to do, but it also has a lot of tools at its disposal that can help guide those efforts. And the current administration may have been good at skirting the law and working around Congress to implement cruel immigration policies, but the damage it has done isn't irreversible, and we have tremendous hope that working with President-elect Biden and his team that we can move quickly to take action to reverse these damaging policies on the part of the Trump administration. So with that, I'd like to ask our operator to open the queue for questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide the best sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold a moment while we poll for questions. We'll take our first question today from Julia Preston with the Marshall Project. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for holding this call. The situation we have at the border right now is, particularly in the Rio Grande Valley, devastation of the population by the coronavirus. that is particularly affecting communities of color. I'm sure you're aware of that. And that's true all along the border. And at the same time, there is a possibility of, because of the conditions that you've described in Central America, of a major increase in the numbers coming from Central America of unaccompanied children, which is a situation that you, in particular at KIND, have lived through before. So I'm wondering if you could describe in a lot more detail how you see the processing should go at the border, taking into account the protections for coronavirus proliferation that need to be in place. How do you see the children connecting with counsel? What agencies need to be responsible for this? Give me a description of what you would like to see happening at the border right away in terms of processing of unaccompanied children.
Thanks so much for that question, Julia. This is Jennifer. I can start and then see if my colleagues want to add on. That's a great question, right? We want to make sure that kids are safe physically, both from, you know, the dangers that exist for a lot of them in their countries, the dangers they've encountered on their journey, but then also of COVID, right? It's just a whole other added layer. So from our perspective, the best thing that can be done is to ensure proper reception. So if that means that Customs and Border Protection needs to bring in other humanitarian actors, including medical professionals as appropriate, to be doing screening and processing of kids and staging them in a way that they can ensure social distance and, you know, podding as appropriate, and then as quickly as possible move those kids into ORR facilities. ORR has come a long way in establishing protocols to ensure the safety of kids who are arriving. They have staging the facilities along the border. So, for example, many of their facilities in Texas are being used as kind of the first destination for kids so that they can be tested, they can be quarantined if necessary, and be given, you know, the appropriate medical treatment if needed before they're moved to either family members' home, you know, reunification immediately, or if they need to be moved after they pass medical clearance to a different ORR facility while they're still awaiting family reunification. You know, a couple examples of ways that ORR has been able to do this is they've been able to, for example, group kids together who've all arrived together to make sure that, you know, one pod stays together separate from other pods so you don't have rampant spread throughout facilities. And then about your question about ensuring counsel, you know, that is obviously of utmost importance to us at KIND. One thing that we have done is make sure that kids have access to technology that allows them to have consistent video communication with their attorneys if the attorneys can't go into the facility, to make sure that, that just because there's COVID protocols in place, that there's no reduction in their ability to access counsel, to be screened, to receive a Know Your Rights presentation. One concern we have is that because of the added hurdles, right, not being able to see the kids in person sometimes, having to do things over video, is we're very distressed that the Executive Office for Immigration Review has been having kids present for their first master calendar hearing in an incredibly short amount of time. So in sometimes less than 2 weeks, having to present in court and start making pleadings. Now, this doesn't make any sense. It's very inefficient for the government to be doing this because, like I said, sometimes kids are going to be in a facility in Texas, but then might be moved to a different facility in a different state. We think it's much more efficient for the NTA to be filed in the court where the child's ultimate destination is going to be, like previous practice had been. But regardless of that, we're still persevering to make sure that the kids absolutely have their rights explained to them and that they can get some sort of legal screening, even during this accelerated time period. I'll stop there. I don't know if Lisa or Wendy want to add anything.
No, that was great. Thanks, Jen.
Can I ask a follow-up on that?
Sure.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about CBP. As far as I know, it's still a 72-hour transfer requirement. Is that true? And if so, have you thought at all about the conditions at the CBP stations and whether CBP should be changing its facilities, its procedures to be more child appropriate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, look, even before COVID, I think there are a lot of concerns about our CBP facilities appropriate for children at all. So I think we're consistent in that we're pushing for children to spend the shortest amount of time possible in CBP, and that CBP moves as quickly and HHS collaborates to move children as quickly as they can to an ORR facility. And I think the requirement that Congress put in the last appropriations bill requiring them to hire child welfare professionals will go a long way to ensuring appropriate communication with HHS, ensuring HHS can receive a child very quickly, ensuring that there's appropriate screening of the kids and appropriate care of them, you know, whether if that is any sort of emergency medical needing, if there is any sort of screening that needs to happen. I think ensuring that they have not just law enforcement agents and officers dealing with kids, but people who have expertise and training on how to deal with children is going to be very important to improving the reception in CBP.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Again, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad at this time to enter the queue. One moment while we pull for questions. We'll take our next question from Matthew Casey with KJZZ. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for having this call. I'm wondering, given everything that the Biden administration is going to have on its plate coming in, from COVID to the impeachment to immigration, how confident do you feel that this could actually, what you're asking for, could actually happen in 100 days, in the first 100 days?
This is Jen. I can start. We are very optimistic that a lot of the issues that we've talked about in 100 days can be addressed. We've seen signals from the Biden administration and commitments from them, particularly around forming a task force on family separation. And in a situation where we're and the restoring order at the border and restoring the law at the border has also been very important. I mean, you know, as I mentioned before, we have children who are dying right now, trying to access protection. And so, you know, for an administration that has made commitments to this population in the past, we're confident that they are going to be able to prioritize, you know, the safety of these kids while at the same time thinking about COVID precautions, both for Americans and for recent arrivals, for those needing protection.
Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or comment. And there appear to be no further questions at this time.
Great. Thank you, operator. If there are no more questions, I just want to thank Jennifer and Lisa again for their presentations and to all of you for joining the call today. As the Biden administration takes the reins next week, I hope that we can continue to stay in touch with you about the work that lies ahead and KIND's efforts in that regard. To learn more about what we've discussed today, you can always visit our website at supportkind.org, where you will find a full blueprint for action for the new administration as well as other resources. And, of course, if you'd like to follow up with questions or conversation, please don't hesitate to reach out to Megan McKenna to set up a time to chat with any of us. So thanks again, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you again for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a great day.